Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
There we go. Thank you, Scotchy, for the reading. Great. And Peter, I saw him earlier this week. We were chatting, and I usually send him a copy of my talk beforehand so he can get an idea, and he likes to write original stuff. And he said he was really kind of struggling and working and, you know, all this trying to make this work, and it just wasn't working. And then he said the hell with it, went to bed and woke up in the middle of the night and got up and wrote that. You know, like, boom, that quick, came right out. So kind of the way it works, you know, you put it into consciousness and it eventually comes out. You may not know exactly where, when, or how, but it works out pretty well. So before I get into the heart of my talk, I do want to mention, because we are celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow, personally, I have always thought that Memorial Day, it should be just as important as Thanksgiving. It really isn't in this country. People just see it as a time to have picnics and stuff. And I say that because tomorrow what we are doing is we are showing gratitude, and we've been celebrating this holiday since 1868. We're showing gratitude to the men and women who chose to place themselves in a position where they lost everything. Because Veterans Day and Memorial Day, a lot of people don't think about it, but there's a difference, because Memorial Day is where we honor people who gave their life in service to the country, where Veterans Day is we honor those who serve. Both are important, but Memorial Day really is talking about the ultimate sacrifice, where people gave their lives. I'm a veteran. I went to a military college, so did Rick, and I think a couple others in here, so the rest of us can enjoy the freedoms we have in this country, and that's something we should be thankful for. That's why I see it as Thanksgiving. So if you know somebody who has been in the service today besides me, honor them, call them, just say thank you. So this morning, the title of my talk is Making a Brand New Memory. And I want to talk about why it's so important for us to understand how much an effect our memory has upon both our present and our future. Now, one study I read a couple years ago said that 90% of the time we spent thinking is spent thinking about the past, which is kind of interesting, because that by definition means that our mind is usually filled with thoughts about events and experiences that are over and done. That's what it means. Not only that, the study said we also spend a lot of time thinking about the thoughts that we had in the past. So what we actually have a lot of the time is memories of memories, or memories of memories of memories. And all that stuff fills our head. It's no wonder so many people are living lives that never seem to change. So let me talk about basics for a minute. I like to do that every so often for those of you who may be new here, or for those of you who have been coming for a long time. This teaching, what we call the science of mind, hinges on three basic ideas. First of all, we believe the universe we live in responds to us. John Wheeler, the physicist, calls it a participatory universe. We're talking about that in class. That's one. Number two, we believe that how the universe responds to us is determined by our thoughts and emotions and patterns of ideas and the beliefs and the opinions that occupy our mind. That's the second basic element. And third, finally, we believe, and this is the most important part of all, we believe that we can change our thoughts and thereby change our experience. It's really that basic. Now, for some people that sounds a little simplistic, but I promise you that it isn't. Because you see, most of our problems in life are caused by our refusal to take charge of our own mind. Now, we don't do this deliberately. We're not dumb. We actually do think we're in charge. But most of the time, we're just reacting to all life's little events the way that we have been conditioned to react. So we keep looking at new situations and new opportunities in our life through the same old lens, basing our decisions on our memories of how we handled things before. And even though we like to think that we learn from our memories and start to make better decisions by remembering how we did things in the past, more times than we like to admit, this is not the case at all. I speak from personal experience. In fact, a lot of the time we keep on trying the same old things or keep approaching life from the same old angle with minor variations, hoping that this time we're going to get a different result. And that is the classic definition of what? Insanity. Doing the same thing the same way, hoping for a different result. Now, with all that being said, the truth is we could not function very well without a good memory because it does a number of things. For one thing, it gives continuity to our personality. I know a number of us here are getting at the age where with our parents or even grandparents, some of them are suffering various forms of dementia. And what we find as they go through the period where their memories go away, their personality starts to go away. It's very, very interesting. So that's one thing our memory does. And in day-to-day living, memory is an important part of the learning process, so we can remember how to tie our shoes or remember not to touch a hot stove, those kind of things. It also allows us to deepen our relationships because we have common history with people that we love, friends, family, that kind of thing. We all remember the same things. And finally, memory also facilitates the creative process, not just the learning process, but also the creative process, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. We can piggyback on what we've learned, on what other people have done, and what we remember so we can grow and expand our life. Now, we do this as individuals, but we also do it as a race. This is how society evolves through the years. But in order to use our memory intelligently, which is what I think most of us want to do, there are a few things we need to think about. Because a good long memory can be a two-edged sword. It can be a two-edged sword. A number of years ago, a man by the name of James Barry, Sir James Barry, anybody know who he was? Peter Pan. He wrote the original book, Peter Pan, The Lost Boys, it was called. Anyway, he was a writer, and he once wrote this. This is one of a quote I've known for years. I love it. And he said, "God gave us memory that we might have roses in December." See what he's saying? God gave us memories so we might have roses in December. That's a beautiful way of saying that a clear and balanced memory allows us to remember all the wonderful and beautiful experiences that we've had in the past. It allows us to remember what it's like to be happy, or remember what it's like to be healthy, or to be prosperous, or to be loved, which can be extremely valuable, especially during those periods in our life when we may have lost sight of those kind of things, when our life doesn't seem to be going very well. That's why another of my favorites, Khalil Gibran, the Persian Christian poet, he once said, "The biggest thing in today's sorrow is the memory of yesterday's joy." So the past and the present are very much intertwined. Now, going even further than that, also interesting to me is the fact that medical research is discovering that memory has an important role to play when our body needs to heal. There's a man by the name of Herbert Benson. He's a Harvard-trained medical doctor, MD, and he founded the Institute for Mind-Body Medicine. It's up at Massachusetts General, up in Boston, a very prestigious institute. And he created a term in this book that he calls remembered wellness. Remembered wellness. And he maintains that we all have at our core level this deep memory of health that is the mind and body's natural ability to remember what it feels like to be healthy. And he believes, and he's got evidence to prove it, that it is that ability to remember what it feels like to be healthy that makes healing possible. That's actually part of the healing process. You see, in a way, healing from remembered wellness is sort of like working with a giant jigsaw puzzle. Anybody do those when you were a kid? Your family would bring out those 1,000-piece puzzles with a picture of the Grand Canyon or something like that, and we'd pull it out. Well, the first thing you did before you put the puzzle together was what? Look at the picture on the box, okay? Or if you actually saw it put together already because somebody else in the family had done it, but you wanted to do it, if you see what it looks like together, before you jumble up the pieces, it makes it a lot easier to put the puzzle back together again, right? Because our mind remembers the picture, even though we're putting pieces together. So memory can help us to remember a pattern of health from our past that we can use as a frame of reference to help us return to our original state of wholeness, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it happens to be, when our body or our life gets off track. Now, that's something good memory can do. On the other hand, remember, I said it's a two-edged sword. There are an awful lot of people in the world, you know some and I do, who seem to be stuck in the memory of some past event in their life that may have been very traumatic. Anybody know anybody like that? I'm sure a lot of us do, okay? For example, maybe someone who had gone through child abuse, which is a horrible thing, or an illness or an injury. Maybe the death of a child or the loss of a spouse, maybe some personal setback like getting divorced, losing your job, whatever, All right. Now, it's not always a negative event that people get caught up in. There are some people who spend their whole life being caught up in a positive past event, but that ain't the norm. You know, normally the positive is not nearly as popular as the negative because more people go, oh, poor baby, when you use the negative, okay? But in either case, it's amazing how many people become locked into one brief period in their past. A number of years ago, I was raised in Florida. My mom lives down there with a couple of my brothers, and I went down visiting her, and it was close to Father's Day, so we went over to the cemetery where my father and her parents, my mom's parents, were buried, and we went to the graves and paid our respects, and I was walking around because it was sort of we had a few people from the family there, my grandparents, my brother, all there, and I remember seeing this one headstone. It was very interesting, and on the headstone it said, whatever the name was, John Robinson, had the year born, year died, PFC, U.S. Army. Now, there was a little flag on it, you know, all that, very, very nice. The interesting thing was, the man did not die as a private PFC. He died when he was 94 years old. All right, get what I'm saying? Very interesting. But that was the memory that went on his tombstone, not marriage, family, anything else. And I couldn't help but wonder how much his memory of those couple of years during World War I, as it turned out it was when I looked at the years, when he was maybe 18 years old or so as a PFC, how those few years took on a level of importance that probably shaped everything he did for the rest of his life. Everything he did for the rest of his life. Now, with all that being the case, there are a couple of points I want to emphasize here. First of all, memories are neither good nor bad. A lot of people would disagree, but just stick with me on this. And second, memories do not exist in the past. That's something else that people have trouble getting their head around. Memories are present thoughts about a past experience, because we can only think in the present. Now, you've heard me say that before, but I can't overemphasize how important this is. The point is, if we are responsible for our thoughts, as we believe, maybe not responsible for the ones that come in, but we are definitely responsible for the ones that stay, all right? If we are responsible, then that means we have the ability to choose not only what we remember, but how we remember it. Now, I don't mean we need to lie to ourselves about something that happened in our past. We just need to be a little more selective about what we focus on. That's all I'm saying here. I mean, if you think about it, it's really about choosing, either deliberately or by default, which we're always doing, choosing what emotional energy we attach to the memory. That's the choices of what happened way back when. Because emotions are the power behind all thoughts. Thoughts give direction. Emotions are the power behind all thoughts, and our memories are no exception. You see, we all know this, but let's just say it out loud. We do not remember our life as a constantly running video, like a YouTube video. We don't remember our life this way. We remember snapshots. Remember the Kodak Moments commercials from years ago? We remember snapshots. We remember very brief periods. We don't remember every single thing that happens. And when we think we remember conversations, for example, or interactions with people, whether it's our parents or whoever it was, what we really remember even more vividly than the actual conversations are the emotions attached to the interaction. Many years later, that's what we remember. For example, if you remember going to the circus when you were 6 years old, 8 years old, you probably have a vague memory of costumes and lights and smells and sounds and all that kind of stuff. But what you really remember is how excited you were when you were walking in. What you really remember is how safe you felt when you were holding on to your dad or your mom's hand walking in. You remember being scared by the lions or the elephants maybe. You remember the thrill of seeing the man on the flying trapeze. That's what we remember. In other words, it is the strength of our emotions tied to our thoughts that dictate the strength of our memories. And when something happens in our life that calls a particular memory to mind, the original emotion usually comes right up with it. The original emotion that happened back then comes right up with it. The problem is, when we accept the whole package without question, when we think of the event in the past and we accept the emotion as it was back then, and think that they're intertwined and fixed and unchangeable, the event and the emotion powering the memory gets that much stronger every time we remember it. And over the course of years, that emotion can and will take on a life of its own. That's how our memory can control us. So as metaphysicians, which we are, you may not have known that when you came in here, but you will when you leave. You are metaphysicians, okay? You're trying to understand something over and above the physical, all right? What we want to do is to get back in control of our own mind. Because if we don't control our thoughts and our memories, they will control our life. So let's shift our thinking a little bit so we can see how our memories and our present thoughts are related. Because if our memories, get this, it's complicated, but it's important, okay? If our memories once upon a time were created by present thoughts, you with me? Everybody? Okay. Then the same thing that's true about our thoughts and emotions today must have been true about how we were thinking then. Back then they were present thoughts, we were thinking about them as present thoughts. Today, these present thoughts are the same as them, only those happened a long time ago. All right? The process, this is the point, doesn't change. So let's take something that happens now that will turn into a memory for tomorrow. It could be this talk, whatever it happens to be, and examine it for a moment to see how this process works. You see, when we have a certain emotional response to an event that happens in the present, in the moment, our actual response depends upon a number of things. And all of those things are internal. All of these responses are internal because our response depends upon our beliefs, our attitudes, our life experience, our present emotional state, and a lot of other things. That's why you and I may not react to or remember the same situation in the same way, even if we're both there together. I mean, I could be in a traffic jam with my wife, and I'm pounding on the wheel and cussing out people, and she's just cool and relaxed, not bothering her in the least, or vice versa. It goes both ways sometimes. You and I could be riding on a roller coaster, okay, and you're having the time of your life, and I am so scared I'm about to wet my pants. Both of us in the same place, okay? Because our emotional response is different, then our memories are going to be different. And not only will we have a different perspective, we may even remember the facts of what happened differently. Police and trial lawyers see this all the time. Two people who are at the scene of a crime, standing right next to each other, report back things totally different. Doesn't even sound like they were at the same place. That's why you may remember a pleasant memory at Six Flags, while I remember almost being killed on the Scream Machine. Two different memories, same experience, okay? But if I am remembering things that way, as horrible and tragic and all this stuff, as time goes on, a year, 5 years, whatever, if I do some really good, clear, mental and spiritual work, and if I learn to stop looking at my life as a fearful, angry person who looks at everything in a fearful, angry way, if I evolve out of that, not only will my present life become more calm and peaceful, but the emotions I attach to my memories will also become more balanced. They'll become calmer and more peaceful. Because memories are just memories. Memories are just images with no power of their own. So a memory all by itself can't hurt us, it can't scare us, it can't make us angry or fearful or upset. All right. It simply presents us with an opportunity to either repeat the event mentally and emotionally in its original form. Remember, I said repeating that event, doing it in the present, in its original form, with all of the original emotional baggage attached, or to see it from the perspective of a more highly evolved and balanced consciousness, from the perspective of a mind that chooses not only what it remembers, but how it remembers it. That's the process. That is the process we use to create a brand new memory out of an old experience. Now, Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, if you're here for the first time, he said something very interesting in one of the chapters that talks about memory. He said, "Our soul is the storehouse of all memory." Kind of a blend between psychology and spirituality. In other words, he believes that there is a place in our consciousness, in the collective, but we're talking about in our own individual consciousness here, at the level of our very deepest spiritual being, okay, where everything we ever did, everything we ever thought, everything we ever saw, heard, said, read, imagined, whatever, is stored. It's all stored in that place, but not only is it out of sight, it's out of mind. It is stored and locked away. And as long as it stays there, it's not going to affect us. Because God, which is the eternal universal consciousness living in the eternal now, is unimpressed by our past. That's what he said. I love that statement. God is unimpressed by our past because God, it only exists in the present. It exists in the eternal now. Now, a lot of the memories we got stored away, pretend we got a box here with a lock on it, are worthless, absolutely worthless memories. And there's a lot of stuff in there that needs to stay where it is. Right now, we don't need to think about it because all it's going to do is get in our way. There might be some stuff in that box that's very pleasant. We just don't remember it. It hasn't come to our conscious attention because it's no longer relevant to our life, no longer relevant to the person that we've become. And some of it could be useful, could actually be useful. The point is, we can decide what stays in the box and what comes out. We can make that decision. You see, even though it may seem like it sometimes, memories do not just hang around ready to jump randomly into the middle of our brain while we're trying to think of something else. That's not what they do. Memories do not come to our attention at any significant level unless we are thinking in a way that attracts them. Unless we are actually thinking in a way that attracts them. Which means when we get scared about something, if we don't confront our fear in that moment and see it for what it is, our mind is going to be filled very, very quickly with an assortment of fearful memories that only make it worse. That's what's going to happen. Or if we buy into the belief all the time that we are a victim of some situation that we've stumbled into, if we just allow ourselves to feel powerless, then memories of occasions where we felt victimized are going to line themselves up across the screen of our mind, just like that thing you see in the bottom of CNN that keeps going and going and going. We've all had it happen. Okay? Now, it's easy to see, because we all can identify with this, why this kind of thought process keeps us from getting beyond our old way of thinking and living. Because we have to remember that we are creative beings existing in the present, spiritually connected, spiritually one with the one power that created and continues to create everything, including us. Including us. In our life, it creates not just through us, but as us, and it does so by allowing us to choose freely both what we believe and how we think. That's what it does. Once again, our memories have no special power of their own. In fact, I heard someone say once, I don't remember who it was, so I'll take credit if you tell anybody else. And it said that a memory is nothing more than the leftover corpse of an idea. Ooh, everybody said, ooh. A memory is nothing more than the leftover corpse of an idea. Now, that may sound a little bit strong, but I think it's true. I also think it's true that we can actively carry only a certain number of ideas in our mind in a given time. And as I get older, it seems to be fewer and fewer, but only a few, a certain number at any given time. And if that space, if that bandwidth that we have in our mind is taken up by old ideas that have a leftover negative emotional state, or if our mind stays crowded by past episodes in our life that are dead and gone and holding us back instead of helping us to grow, it's going to be trying to like walk forward while looking backwards. That's what it's going to be, and a lot of people live that way. In other words, if we allow our thoughts of yesterday to fill up today, we are going to be experts on what's behind us, but we'll have no idea where we're going. It's really that simple. Now, the solution to this kind of dysfunctional thinking is really quite simple. And in a way, it's just a matter of numbers. It's just a matter of numbers. I mean, if we can't stop memories, we cannot stop memories from becoming a part of our normal everyday thought process. We just can't. They keep coming in, nor should we try. But if we consciously and deliberately begin to fill our mind, starting now, starting today, starting by being here, great way to do it. If we start to fill our mind with lots of positive, relevant, productive, creative, loving, interesting, and imaginative ideas by reading, by watching certain kind of movies, by talking to positive, intelligent people, and if we stop wasting our precious mental and spiritual and emotional energy on thoughts that are old, negative, outdated, destructive, hateful, and limited, blah, 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 the list, if we start focusing more on the good ones and getting rid of the other ones, we're going to create a better pool of memories to choose from. Just a matter of numbers, all right? Of course, for some people it's harder than others. If your mind looks sort of like the junkyard from Sanford and Son, remember that? You know, some people's brain sort of looks like that. It may take a little while to replace the old with the new. But if we don't start now, it's never going to happen. If not now, when? The good news is when we do finally start, it changes a lot faster than we think. You see, when memories come into our mind, we all have the ability, if we're being honest with ourselves, to know whether that memory is helping us or hurting us. It doesn't take any special training. We all know that at a core level. But if you're not sure how to tell, here's a clue. For those of you who are writing, you can write this down, okay? If thinking about a certain memory in your life helps you feel better about yourself and your life's getting better every day, then it's probably helping, okay? But if thinking about it makes you feel, Peter's laughing, makes you feel worse and your life is chronically miserable, then it probably isn't, okay? I don't think I need to say it any slower than that, all right? Duh. What we're saying here is, if your mind is occupied with a memory that fits perfectly with your desire to grow and evolve mentally and spiritually, then welcome it in. Welcome it in. Make a nice home for it. But if a certain memory keeps distracting you in a negative way, just stop for a moment, look it right in the eye, and do it what Dr. Barker said, which is to send it back to the nothingness from whence it came. It's a great affirmation. Send it back. I don't need you. Back in the box, all right? Now, if a certain memory, unhelpful memory, does keep showing up, you may need to look at what it's telling you, because it is telling you something. And what it's telling you is what needs to be healed in your life. What needs to be healed in your life? The answer is probably in that memory. That's why it keeps showing up. So if it's a memory that you're keeping as a secret that you've never told anyone else, find someone you trust and share it. And if it's a memory that you keep talking about all the time with everybody you run into, then stop talking about it. Either way, okay? Whatever you do, make sure you are the one who makes that decision and that you're making it from what you know now, in the present. You see, we should never depend upon anything in our past to bring joy to our future. And we should never allow anything in our past to deprive us of joy in the here and now. As spiritual beings who are living eternally in the present, which is what we are, everything that ever happened in our past truly did help create who we are now. But only the thoughts we have in the present can determine what we create for ourselves in the future. There's no way we can go back and change the past. We haven't figured out how to do that. But we do have the power to change how our past thoughts, beliefs, and emotions from this moment on are affecting what we're thinking right now. This is a spiritual gift that we have been given by nature of who we are. But just like all of the spiritual gifts that we've been given, just by virtue of being here, it can only help us if we use it. So now's probably a good time to start, don't you think? Anyway, this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's just take a moment here. Allow your mind, body, and spirit to be in one place, at one time, in this place, in the now. Recognizing that All thought is creative. There is an infinite mind that uses thought to create the universe. And I am an individualized expression of that universal mind creating my life. So as I recognize this, I see that my life is a mirror. My life reflects my thoughts and beliefs. My life reflects the memories that I embrace. And as I look at that, it tells me what I need to do. It tells me what I need to change. It tells me where I need to focus. It tells me what better beliefs I should embrace. So knowing this, as I recognize this truth, I begin to live my life in a different way. I choose my memories and how I think of them, choose the ones I keep. I set aside the others. I focus on creating new memories for the future from my thoughts in the present. So I surround myself with wisdom and intelligence and joy and laughter and love and beauty and all these things. I surround myself with people who support me and who I can support. I take actions that serve others as well as myself. And I do all these things to begin creating a life where my focus is on the positive, where my focus is on spirit, where my focus is on the God part of my life. So knowing this, I look at all things going on around me, whether it's the election, the conflicts in the Middle East and so many places in the world, whether it's divisions between different groups of Americans, and I give these things my attention, but I give them no power. Because I recognize that if I look at these things with love, I will be the beginning of a seed that heals. That does not just heal my life, but heals every life I touch. This is how powerful I am. So as I do this and I attract others, I begin to create a greater world for all of us. I am deeply grateful. This holiday weekend, I spend a few moments in gratitude for those who gave everything, for those who gave their life that I might have the freedom that I have. And I embrace this greater idea of a future where no one will any longer need to give their life so that others may be free. I see a world where freedom is the natural birthright of every person. In gratitude for this awareness, I release this treatment into consciousness, letting it be so for me and everyone from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.